Hi there, everyone. Michael A. Bryan here from the Oraculo School of Astrology with next week's astrology for the week of February 11th to February 17th, 2024. If this is your first time joining us here on the Oraculo's podcast, next week's astrology is where I give you my insights into the upcoming astrological weather, not only looking at some of the more traditional astrological combinations, but also looking at some of the non-traditional astrological combinations using the trans-Neptunian planets from Uranian astrology. So if you haven't already subscribed to the Oraculo's podcast, then go down below, hit the subscription button, as well as hit the notification bell wherever you're listening to us on the internet so that you can stay in the loop with all of this amazing concrete astrological magic. Now, before we dive in, I do want to invite you to come and join us at this year's Northwest Astrological Conference. I'm not speaking at this year's NORWAC, but I will be in the hallway selling my books, basically. That's the biggest thing going on. I'm going to be selling my previous book, Mastering Traditional Astrology, which if you haven't purchased it already, you can buy yourself a copy over on Amazon.com. And if you've already purchased the book and love the book, then please leave me a 5-star written review over on Amazon, letting people know about what you love the most about the book. And I'll also be selling my latest book, Horary Astrology and the Natal Promise, a concrete guide to celestial divination. No, a concrete guide to astral divination this coming NORWAC as well. So there's a lot that's going to be going on. You can come out and meet me and your other Oraculo's family. Grab yourself an Oraculo's t-shirt, a hoodie, a bag, all of the things. And I look forward to seeing you this year in Seattle. Now, without further ado, we're going to dive into next week's astrology for February 11th to February 17th, 2024. Do enjoy. All right, so the first thing we have coming up is Mercury in a contraparallel relationship with Vulcanus, and that's happening on February 11th at 2:34 p.m. EST. Vulcanus is one of the Uranian astrology planets, and one of the easiest ways to think about Vulcanus is as a force that magnifies things. So if Mercury is communication, then Vulcanus is representing magnified communication or big thoughts or big words or big expression of thoughts and opinions on this day. So this day is a very opinionated day. It can be a very fiery day, especially as far as the sharing of those thoughts and opinions are concerned. And we know that Mercury was the messenger of the gods. So there's this idea of speed surrounding Mercury as well. So Mercury Vulcanus can also be a day of speeding or a day of competitiveness, especially in terms of competitions in which speed is a very big deal. So today can be a very competitive day on the ground in general, but it can also be a day of big news where we're hearing things happening within the world that is really catching our attention and that we all want to pay more attention to. Now, also happening on this day, we have the Sun in the semi-square relationship with Cupido. That's happening at 5:30 p.m. EST. Cupido is one of the Uranian astrology planets that we consider to be a super Venus. So Sun Cupido is a day of love or a day of art or a day of peace or a day for the peaceful expression of just how we exist within the world. The Sun is also a force that causes anything to become physical. Therefore, Sun Cupido can be a force that creates the physical manifestation of peace today. So on this day that we already have the Mercury Vulcanus, which is representing very important news and ideas and plans and messages and forceful words, and we also have the Sun Cupido combination, which is representing the physical manifestation of peace, today we could be hearing forceful words regarding the physical manifestation of peace, which is ideally and essentially going to be something that we can all look forward to with great optimism. So these are two of the combinations we have coming up on February the 11th and the only combinations we have coming up on this day. Moving on through to February 12th, we have Mercury in the semi-square relationship with Neptune, and that's happening at 12:58 a.m. EST. Somebody once asked me about how we interpret octiles in Uranian astrology and how we interpret octiles in terms of astrology in general. For those of you who don't know, an octile is a hard aspect. And in all astrology, the hard aspects are aspects that are divisible by the number 8. So that gives us our semi-square, our square, our sesquiquadrate, and our opposition. And we also throw the conjunction in that because the conjunction belongs in every aspect family. Octiles simply bring together the meanings of planets. That's it. There's nothing else to say about them. That is the end of the discussion as far as octiles are concerned. So if Venus means love, and if Mars means excitement, or if Mars means fire, then Venus Mars can be exciting, fiery love. Capiche? There's nothing else that we do with octiles. It requires nothing else because that is literally the baseline of how we interpret them. And that baseline is very important because that's all we do with those aspects. So when we do any sort of mundane astrological prediction, we do that based on the hard aspects in general. Some people prefer to only use the conjunction, the square, and the opposition. But for those of us who practice Uranian astrology or cosmobiology, we use this wider range of hard aspects because all of these hard aspects are aspects of manifestation. What do they manifest? They manifest the reality of what two planets or even two or more planets mean when brought in combination with each other. So today we have Mercury in a semi-square relationship with Neptune. What does that mean? When we talk about their planet-to-planet relationship, Mercury has to do with words, Neptune has to do with fantasy. So Mercury-Neptune has to do with words based in fantasy, or words based in fiction, or words based in lies. That's how you interpret the two of those things coming together as an octile. It's not how you would interpret the two of those things coming together in a trine or a sextile. And I really have nothing to say about the trine or the sextile because that is beyond the scope of this broadcast. So anyway, the Mercury-Neptune combination has to do with deception. It has to do with lies. It has to do with people who are intentionally saying things that they know is based in fallacy. Sometimes people can have Mercury Neptune and say things that they don't know is based in fallacy and that they genuinely believe with all their heart and mind, but they believe it with such a level of religious conviction that they don't even see the holes within their own narrative. So Mercury Neptune is a very tricky combination for all of those reasons. And the Mercury-Neptune combination is also something that can manifest as intuition and imagination. So it's a wonderful combination for you if you are into fantasy writing or fictional writing or something to that effect, because it gives you a great level of intuition and dreaminess and the ability to pull content up out of your subconscious mind and make that understandable for people. But it just as easily is a combination of confusion. So these are things we want to be mindful of as we move into the 12th of February. We might be hearing things that aren't actually based or rooted in truth. Moving on through on this day, we have Venus in a square relationship with Zeus, and that's happening at 3:28 a.m. EST. Venus and Zeus is one of the combinations we look for from a fertility astrology perspective in Uranian astrology. And that's because Venus and Zeus is one of the combinations that has to do with sperm, but it also has to do with procreation and the act of creating life out of love. So this can also be a very highly creative day that we have on our heels on the 12th of February. It's a day for creativity based on art, a day of creativity based on physical human procreation. So it's a wonderful day as far as fertility is concerned. It's also a wonderful day as far as artistic creativity is concerned, because this day has to do with us devoting ourselves to an activity that we know will have a fruitful outcome. So if there's something that you want to do that needs a fruitful outcome, then today is the day for it. The next thing we have coming up is the moon in a sextile relationship with Mars, and that's happening at 7:31 a.m. EST. Moon sextile Mars, how do we feel about it? Moon sextile Mars is really a non-factor because we're not really here to talk about the fact that the moon is sextiling Mars. The only reason we're bringing it up is because this is the last aspect the moon is going to make before she goes void of course. So the moon is going to be void of course for basically an hour between 7:31 a.m. EST until 8:25 a.m. EST when she ingresses into Aries, at which point in time it is wonderful once more for us to launch rockets of manifestation out into the universe. There's a very big rocket of manifestation I wanted to launch out into the universe today. However, I am staving my enthusiasm because the moon at this moment is roughly around 23 degrees of Cancer, and the next aspect she's going to make is going to be a trine to Neptune. I don't know if I believe the trine to Neptune is going to prevent the moon from being void, of course. So therefore, I'm going to wait until tomorrow morning after the moon passes her opposition to Pluto to do some wonderful promotion of all things Oraculous, because we have some mighty big events coming up this month of January that I'm still recording this. It's already February for you if you're listening to it, as well as for the earlier portion of February. Now, moving on through to the next thing happening, we have Poseidon stationing retrograde. Poseidon is one of our Uranian astrology planets, and Poseidon is going to be stationing retrograde at 2:52 p.m. EST. Poseidon has to do with revelation and spirituality and education and culture and the use of culture as a means of elevating our standing within this human experience. Poseidon has to do with lifting us all out of the slumps into a more higher and a more evolved version of our own humanity. So we love Poseidon. Poseidon is stationing retrograde at 2:52 p.m. EST. So I'm going to keep my finger on the pulse to see what sort of things manifest within the worlds of higher education and religion and spirituality and philosophy and all of these things that have to do with Poseidon, because chances are we're going to be hearing a lot of news from these sectors of our human experience within the next few months. The last thing we have happening on the 12th of February is the Sun in a parallel relationship with Apollon, and that's happening at 3:24 p.m. EST. Sun Apollon is something that we love. Apollon has to do with far and wide, internationality, but it also has to do with our ability to connect with a much larger world and a much larger global environment. Sun Apollon has to do with success, fame, honor. It's a day of glory. It's a day when we're hearing about success within the world at large. It can also be a day of peace, as well as commerce, as well as trade, as well as prosperity within the marketplaces. This is happening at 3:24 p.m. EST. So if you want to do some form of investment, or anything really, but if you want to do something that needs an extra air of success and prosperity and abundance attached to it, or if you want that to be the outcome of those efforts, then organize those efforts around 3:24 p.m. EST so that you can get the most out of the 12th of February. Moving on through to February 13th, we have Mars ingressing into Aquarius at 1:04 a.m. EST. I'm not assigned to the zodiac person. I'm currently creating a body of astrologers who are also not signs of the zodiac people. So I have absolutely nothing to say about Mars ingressing into Aquarius, which I know everybody else is going to say so much about Mars ingressing into Aquarius, and that is their prerogative. Moving on through on this day, we have the Sun in a contraparallel relationship with Jupiter, and that's happening at 2:53 a.m. EST. Sun Jupiter has to do with the physical manifestation of success. The Sun has to do with a force that makes things physical. And truthfully, if you have the Sun within any sort of planetary combination, then you can think about that combination as really just being that planet, because the Sun is only going to bring out whatever a planet already represents. So Sun Jupiter is just going to be like Jupiter Jupiter, because Sun Jupiter is going to bring out more of Jupiter within the world at large. So today we have the Sun in the contraparallel relationship with Jupiter, and that combination has to do with physical happiness. It has to do with the fortunate person. It also has to do with a day of optimism and hopefulness and cheerfulness and good news and good tidings in general. Sun Jupiter also has to do with health and our own vitality and our own abundance of health, wealth, and money, basically. The Sun, Jupiter is literally the combination for the payday. So if there's something that you're wanting to do and you want to cash in big time on it, then organize those efforts around this day, the 13th of February. And truthfully, it's a little bit early in the morning. It's 2:53 a.m. for those of us on the East Coast. But if you're across the pond, it's basically 7:53 a.m. Your day has already started. This is a wonderful time for you to initiate efforts that you want to be successful, because the day is just looking like a successful day in general. Now, as we move on through, the very last thing happening on this day at 11:43 p.m. EST is Venus in a contraparallel relationship with Admetos. Venus Admetos is an interesting combination. It has to do with us having a very small social network. So Venus Admetos is more MySpace than it is Facebook. It has to do with a more tight-knit community of people, and sometimes it can even be an intentional shrinking of our community of people. Venus Admetos is a combination that has to do with coldness in love and frigidity in love, which is a part of why it's one of our divorce combinations. Right up there with Venus Saturn, Venus Uranus, Venus Neptune, those things can tend to be rough on a person as far as their love life is concerned. Pluto Venus, Venus and Pluto is rough for different reasons, but I digress. So Venus Admetos has to do with limited feelings. It has to do with heartlessness and the death of love in general. This is something happening on the tail end of the day, but it is the herald for what's going to be happening at the beginning of the day on February 14th. This isn't really the best omen in the world as far as Valentine's Day is concerned, because Venus Admetos has more to do with us turning our love inward on ourselves than it has to do with us expressing our affections with others. And as a matter of fact, it has to do with repressed affections, which is a bit of a challenging omen, because when we go on to February 14th, we have Mars in a conjunction with Pluto, and that's happening at 1:05 a.m. EST. Mars-Pluto is great for a lot of things, but it's not necessarily great for love. Mars-Pluto has to do with us demonstrating extraordinary energy by which to achieve a potential outcome or a potential aim. It has to do with superhuman expressions of our willpower to get what we want, but it also has to do with ruthlessness and the sense of us getting what we want at whatever cost, whether that cost is a human relationship or whether that cost is even a human life. Mars Pluto is all about the ruthless attainment of our desires, which is why we also consider it to be a combination of brutality and violence and the danger of accidents. One of the things that stands out to me quite a bit as far as Mars Pluto is concerned is Mars Pluto's association with amputation. Pluto has to do with abnormal. Mars has to do with cutting. So Mars Pluto has to do with the abnormal cutting, or cutting some natural part of our physical body off, basically. And so Mars Pluto could also, on a metaphysical and a metaphorical level, have to do with us cutting ourselves off from people around us and thus isolating ourselves in our own tiny silo of personal ambition, desires, and goal orientation. So it's a tricky combination, not tricky in general, but tricky on Valentine's Day, because Valentine's Day is a bit, or should be, at least the opposite of all of that. If you are someone who is single going out on this day, I would suggest you go out with a group of friends, because Mars-Pluto is also the combination of violation. There's that theme once again of the attainment of what one desires, regardless of how one gets it. So I would be very mindful and very conscientious of the whole process of blind dating. And maybe that's something that we hear on the news today. Who knows? Heaven forbid. but that there could be some very challenging things manifesting in terms of people showing animalistic behavior on blind dates at such a level that it catches our global news networks. So we want to be mindful of that. And truthfully, beyond the blind dating side of things, it could just be a very challenging, brutal, violent day in the world at large, because that's definitely what Mars and Pluto is representing in combination. Moving on this day, the last aspect the moon is going to make before she goes void, of course, is going to be her square to Venus. That's happening at 5:20 a.m. EST. After which we have Mercury at 15 degrees Aquarius, which means Mercury is going to be in a hard aspect to 0 degrees of all of the cardinal signs, which means Mercury is going to be on the world axis. So, like I said, today could be a day where this Mars-Pluto content catches our global attention, and it's something that we hear about in the news at large, and the Mercury on the world axis is saying that there's a lot of chatter going on today. Fine, it's Valentine's Day, maybe there's a lot of chatter in general, but the Mercury on the world axis is saying that our news cycle is going buck wild, and possibly it's because of some of the challenging things that the Mars-Pluto represents as far as the brutal attainment of our desires and the brutal attainment of even some of our sexual desires. So these could be things that we hear about on this February 14th, Valentine's Day, which one would expect would not be the sort of feedback we get on this day. Moving on through, the next thing that we have is the moon ingressing into Taurus. That's happening at 10:02 a.m. EST. We love a moon in Taurus. I love the moon in Taurus. It's a wonderful day for the manifestation of all of the things, because we like the moon to be strong. A strong moon brings a strong outcome to most things, and the moon is quite strong in Taurus. And when the moon is in Taurus, she represents that anything that we want to manifest is going to manifest with a greater level of firmness and stability and security within the world at large. So that's something we should be mindful of, because this is a very good omen for anything we're trying to create. Moving on through, the last thing that we have happening on this day is Mars in a contraparallel relationship with Admetos, and that's happening at 8:48 p.m. EST. Mars Admetos is a great combination, because Admetos is kind of like a super Saturn, but it's this sort of super Saturn that doubles down on the heaviness and the oppressiveness and the concentrative qualities of Saturn. And Admetos has to do with spinning on the spot and focusing and centralizing our energies and bringing together the scattered components of who we are and focusing them down a very specific pathway. And Admetos also has to do with oppression and heaviness and death, because it represents this fundamental drilling back down into the earth. So we love Admetos because those things are fundamentally natural human processes. And we love Mars Admetos because Mars Admetos gives us the ability to become specialized in terms of the work that we're doing. It is a combination of specialists. If you're somebody who specializes in your field, even if you are in a field of specialists, if you are the specialist there is, then chances are you have Mars Admetos active within your chart, because it's a combination that creates a more specialized ability and the ability to master whatever your subject or your content of study is. It's also a combination on the negative side that can represent suppression as a result of terror, and it can also represent oppression to the point of immobility. So we want to manifest the higher version of this, which is Mars Admetos focusing on our work and getting our work done, but we don't want to slip into some of the more heavier and the more negative side of this, which can be the Mars Admetos, which makes us feel so stepped upon, or which makes us feel so compressed to the point where we don't really have the sort of energy or vitality to do anything at all. Both of these things can manifest on this day, and I dare say if you feel that heaviness in the air around you, it would be wise to channel that heaviness down a path that allows you to concentrate more fully on completing tasks that might still be unfinished within your life. Because the other side of it is very challenging under the auspices of this Mars at Mitos. Now, we're moving on quickly to the end of this week. The next thing that we have coming up on the 15th of February is Mercury in a square relationship with Poseidon. That is something that I personally love a lot. Poseidon is the Uranian astrology planet of spirituality and revelation and light and insight. So Mercury Poseidon can be a very spiritually enriching day for all of us. And this aspect is perfecting at 4:24 a.m. EST. Mercury Poseidon has to do with the spiritualized mind and spiritualized words and communication in general. So there are always pockets within every month where we can dedicate a day to really grounding ourselves more in our spiritual practice. And this is definitely a day for that. One of my New Year's resolutions was to really deepen my relationship to my spiritual practice and to share that more with my astrological community. And today, I feel very stable and very grounded within the sort of spiritual practice I've been engaging in over the last few weeks. And today is a wonderful day to reinforce that for yourself if there is some sort of spiritual practice that you want to deepen your heels in, or if you currently have a spiritual practice that you haven't been paying much attention to. Today, the 15th of February, after you would have spent all of your time giving your love and devotion to other people on the 14th of February, today is a wonderful day to turn that inward and to focus on you, and also to focus on learning things that enrich you spiritually and philosophically. Now, moving on through to the 16th of February, we have an action-packed day. The very first thing coming up is the Sun in the sesquiquadrate relationship with Hades. That's happening at 3:20 a.m. EST. Sun, Hades, remember what I said earlier, the Sun physicalizes or makes a tangible expression of whatever it's in connection with. Hades is one of the most challenging Uranian astrology planets that we have. So Sun Hades has to do with a day of garbage, but it could also have to do with a day where we feel as if there is more misfortune that is manifesting in the world at large, and it can be a day of ugliness in general. The Sun gives us the word day, and Hades gives us the word ugliness. So today can be a very ugly day. It could be a day that feels oppressive, or where the things that we're hearing within the world about how people in the world or groups of people in the world, how they're conducting themselves, might seem like a major hindrance to human progress. The Sun Hades is a combination that we don't really like because it represents physical troubles and a day when those physical troubles are rising more to the surface for all the world to see. From a natal astrological perspective, the Sun Hades is a good combination for doctors because it has to do with somebody who enjoys working with the most grotesque sorts of injuries or deformations or mutations that can exist. And on the day of Sun Hades, it can also be a day when some of those deformities are occurring within the world at large as a result of violence or as a result of some brutal acts. So today is starting off in not the best way in the world. Moving on through, we have Admetos stationing direct. That's happening at 6:04 a.m. EST. Admetos, once again, is one of our Uranian astrology planets that has to do with gravity and heaviness and density and oppression and suppression and death. It also has to do with concentration and focusing, but sometimes that concentration and focusing can feel like the entire weight of the world is landing on our shoulders. So today, being a Sun Hades day followed by the Admetos stationing direct, could be a day of a very large amount of heaviness, especially in the earlier portions of the day. Moving on through, we have Jupiter in the contraparallel relationship with Apollon. That's happening at 8:55 a.m. EST. We love Jupiter Apollon, not necessarily because it counteracts some of the things that we said before, but we love the Jupiter Apollon because it singularly represents fortune, success, and the circulation of money within the world at large. So if there's something that you're wanting to do or promote or engage in that you want to receive major financial returns from, then 8:55 a.m. EST is a wonderful time to launch those things, because the Jupiter-Apollon combination is one that has to do with success in business, success in law, success in trading, as well as good luck in general. So we love Jupiter-Apollon, and we love it basically just as much as we love Sun Jupiter, if not more, truthfully speaking. Moving on through with this day, the last aspect the moon is going to make before going void, of course, is going to be her square relationship to the sun. That's happening at 10 a.m. EST. And then we have Venus ingressing into Aquarius. Venus will be ingressing into Aquarius at 11:04 a.m. EST. I have nothing to say about Venus ingressing into Aquarius. I have lots to say about Venus conjunct Pluto, which is going to be happening on the following day. Because as we know, Pluto is also at roughly 0 degrees Aquarius, 51 minutes on both the 16th as well as the 17th of February. Now, the next thing we have coming up on the 16th of February is Mercury in a contraparallel relationship with Uranus. That's happening at 11:20 a.m. EST. We like Mercury-Uranus because Mercury-Uranus is the combination of the astrologer. It's the combination of the mathematician, the astronomer, the technician, the person who knows how to problem solve. All of these things are falling under the auspices of Mercury and Uranus. It can also be a day when we're hearing very exciting news within the world at large, and chances are that news is going to be of a financial nature because of the Jupiter-Apollon combination occurring earlier within the day. But chances are, while we're hearing a lot of positive financial news, we can also be hearing a lot of challenging, oppressive news as well as a result of the sun in the sesquiquadrate relationship with Hades at the beginning of the day. So on days when we hear bad news, we don't just always hear bad news. There are some sprinkles of good news as well. And the good news that we're hearing today is going to be news of a financial nature, which you can definitely take advantage of. But the more challenging news has to do with atrocities that could be manifesting on this day as well. So these are two sides of a coin that we want to pay attention to. Next thing we have coming up is the moon ingressing into Gemini. That's happening at 2:39 p.m. EST. I don't like the moon in Gemini, and neither did the ancients. The moon in Gemini is one of the most challenging places in the entire cosmos for the moon to be. And I was speaking with a group of students the other day about the uncanny way in which the moon is often at the last degrees of Gemini in stories where we hear about planes getting hijacked or the Titanic sinking or the submersible imploding or all of these stories that are very challenging, or the flight to Malaysia that we're never going to find. All of these things oftentimes happen when the moon is in late degrees of Gemini. I'm not actually sure if the Titanic situation happened with the moon in late Gemini, but the reality is that very often we hear about these really challenging things, especially in terms of travel, when the moon is within the last, I dare say, 5 degrees of Gemini. So that's just something to be mindful of. The point is, moon in Gemini really isn't good for too much, but what can you do about it? She has to pass through that sign. Now, the next thing that we have coming up on today is Mercury in a square relationship with Uranus, which is just manifesting what we said about the Mercury-Uranus earlier. It's a wonderful day for invention, for excitement, for exciting news. It's a wonderful day for astrology. If you're somebody on the skirts of an astrological practice and you have Mercury in hard aspect with Uranus, then chances are you can be an astrologer, and a pretty damn good one at that. So Mercury-Uranus is something we love to see in the charts of astrologers because it gives your mind the electric capacity to do the sort of heavy lifting necessary and to do the sort of mental back and forth necessary in order for you to practice astrology well. So we love Mercury-Uranus. If you have it in your chart, let us know down below in the comment section, and hopefully you are an astrologer, or you're going to be an astrologer, or you're going to study astrology because you have a chart that's already predisposed for that practice. Now, the last day of this week is the 17th of February, and on that day, we have Mars in an oppositional relationship with Vulcanus. Remember what I said earlier about Mars Vulcanus? Well, it wasn't really about Mars Volcanus, it was just about Volcanus. But remember I said Volcanus has to do with the magnetization, not magnetization, but Volcanus has to do with the magnification of things. So Mars Volcanus is kind of like saying Mars, Mars. Mars Volcanus has to do with great effort and exercise and great power. And it also has to do with great displays of strength and force. So this could be something that we're hearing about in the world at large, that there is something that a country is doing that's meant to be a massive display of force or a massive display of strength as well. However, as we know, if you give Mars a rope to hang himself, he surely will. So on this day when there is such a large unleashing of power in general, there could also be large expressions of violence. So if you find yourself a little bit hot under the collar on this day with the Mars in the opposition relationship with Volcanus, then give yourself time to do an ice bath or something. What's that thing called? Wim Hof, where you do an ice submersion so that you can calm yourself down, cool yourself down. But chances are on this day, the entire world needs to be calmed down and cooled down, because on this day, there's far too much firepower in the world at large. And sometimes far too much firepower can lead to eruptions and explosions and high energy that's a little bit problematic. The next thing we have coming up on the 17th of February is Venus in a conjunction with Pluto. That's happening at 3:48 a.m. EST. I don't really like to see Venus in the conjunction with Pluto on the same day that we have the explosive combination of Mars Volcanus, because Venus conjunct Pluto has to do with fanaticism in love. And very often Venus Pluto can have to do with a sense of violating our own standards in love as a result of some of the things that we're doing in order to maintain and create the possibility of love within our lives. But sometimes it also has to do with us being violated within a romantic context. So the Venus Pluto, this is the second time I'm speaking about this idea of violation. One was on the 14th of February and the second is on the 17th of February. So these could be things and themes that we hear about on this day for sure. One of the positive things I love about Venus Pluto is that it can give a person a very real sense of religiosity, and it can make people feel that much more connected to their own religious beliefs and their own religious ideals, because it gives one a fervent love of anything, basically. Anything that a person with Venus Pluto does, they do it with a deep sense of religiosity and devotion. So these are some of the more positive things we find coming up on this day, but it could be a pretty challenging day in general as a result of some of the more explosive powers we find manifesting in the air. Now, the very last thing we have coming up today is Mercury in a parallel relationship with Poseidon. That's happening at 12:26 p.m. EST. I love Mercury Poseidon. I think I've been paying a lot more attention to Mercury Poseidon because I've recently started up a dream work community of astrologers, and Mercury Poseidon definitely has a seat at that dream work table. Mercury Poseidon, like I said earlier, has to do with spiritualized thinking, but it also has to do with us being able to elevate our fundamental mental qualities to a spiritual level, and it can also have to do with us unleashing our own psychic abilities. So the Mercury Poseidon combination is a great combination for us to do something like psychic brain training or dream work or any of these things that allow us to tap into and communicate with the deepest, most spiritual parts of ourselves. So we love the Mercury Poseidon for all of those reasons. In a mundane context, Mercury Poseidon could just indicate that today there is a calm sense of calmness, basically, on the oceans and on the seas. So if you're somebody in the fishing industry, today is representing a day of calm waters in general, because Mercury Poseidon has to do with a calming of the oceans of the world, but also a calming of our internal emotional oceans as well. So there's a lot of intensity going on this day. We want to take advantage of the Mercury Poseidon to bring us to a more stabilized state of equilibrium, tranquility, and poise. And with that, we end this week of February 11th to February 17th, 2024. Thank you so much for joining me here once again for yet another broadcast of next week's astrology. I sincerely hope that you're enjoying these broadcasts. And honestly, I do these because this makes me a better astrologer. There's nothing quite as potent as being in an environment where someone is speaking about the combinations of planets, not necessarily based on the signs of the zodiac, but just planet-to-planet interactions, because that allows us to practice astrology in a better, more robust way. So you might be listening to this because you want to have insight into the future, but you could also just be listening to this because this gives you insight into the planetary combinations, because that really is where the heart of true astrology lies. So I hope that you're getting something amazing from these. If you love the work we're doing here on the Oraculous Podcast, then please subscribe to the Oraculous Podcast across all of our platforms, which includes YouTube, Spotify, as well as Apple Podcasts. And if you do listen to us over at Apple Podcasts, please leave us a 5-star written review, letting the world know what you love so much about the Oraculous Podcast. Until next time, I'm your host, Michael A. Bryan, leaving you in peace and love and hope until we meet again. Have a good one. Bye-bye.